Inside Red Bull Bora Hans Grohe, the OVB online podcast on the Tour de France. For 3 weeks, we accompany team manager Ralf Denk and the biggest and most successful German cycling team through the Tour de France. Do you have questions for Ralf Denk? Send them to tobias.ruf@ovbmedia.de. And now enjoy the new episode.
The Tour de France 2026 has ended. Mathieu van der Poel wins in Paris. Tadej Pogacar is the overall winner for the fifth time. Red Bull Bora Hansgrohe takes second place in the general classification with Remco Evenepoel, wins two stages and celebrates the most successful tour in its history overall. We tune in one last time this year to France to the team manager of Red Bull Bora Hansgrohe. Hello to Ralf Denk.
Hello and greetings to Rosenheim.
Ralf, it is Monday, 11:30. Where can I reach you?
We are on our way home, or I am on my way home at Charles de Gaulle Airport, and we are flying back towards Munich now.
Exactly. So if there is airport background noise, please excuse that. So Ralf, let us talk briefly about what we saw on Sunday, the final stage. What was going on there yesterday? The images were impressive.
The images were impressive. The race results or the outcome of the race was also impressive. Will a breakaway group make it, or will there be a final sprint after all? And a phenomenal Mathieu van der Poel, who probably pulled away from Tadej Pogacar in the final meters, wins, yes, I believe, by half a bike length ahead of his teammate. So that was pure cycling and was really a mega cool race. And really exciting for the fans.
What came to my mind? We talked about those long-winded flat stages. Looking at what we saw yesterday, wouldn't that be an alternative? Let me take you through my thoughts. For example, you target three major cities, start there only around 5 p.m., and the finish is at prime time. A relatively short circuit designed for sprinters and breakaway riders, as we saw yesterday. The general classification riders could be relieved by an early time check. This brings crowds into the cities and can also generate a new audience. Keyword, short attention span, more action, more show, the time of day. That's what came to mind yesterday.
Well, that is definitely something we should discuss. That is definitely a product that would be great for marketing. I think that puts marketing itself quite far ahead, because we want to, and that is my goal, make our sport bigger. On the other hand, this stage yesterday, also sparked controversial discussions. Yeah, I watched the race yesterday together with Peter Sagan in our bus. Peter Sagan, our former rider, three-time world champion, he says, it's way too much. It is far too hard to ride the 21st stage with this intensity again. He misses the classic entry into Paris, where it is celebrated, where the race is really no longer the main focus. There are, or there were in the past, always some sprints. We also won two in 2023 with Joey Muirs, but that cannot be compared to the stage that took place yesterday. Well, there are different opinions, but ultimately, I think you have to give the fans a big say, because they are, after all, our customers. And from a fan's perspective, I fully understand that they celebrated the race yesterday.
I didn't necessarily mean the final stage in my idea, but rather that instead of those flat stages we always see during the tour, one could incorporate such elements in major cities.
Absolutely, absolutely. Would that be a format like World Championship style?
The Cycling World Championships always take place on circuits. And that would certainly be a format to consider in order to replace the boring flat stages where we couldn't find any attackers or found few attackers in this year's Tour de France. You don't have to replace every flat stage, but perhaps one or two.
Right. Now, from the organizational side to the sporting side, let's get to yesterday's stage. You were seen being very active at the start. Remco actually tried it on the Montmartre. Was he unable to do more in the end, or did you consciously take some risks out?
No, we threw everything we had left in the tank into the mix for the second ascent of the Montmartre climb, and the race went over it three times. We calculated that we could already force a preliminary decision on the second ascent, but that didn't work. And the team was really pushed in preparing for that attack and was ultimately exhausted. On the third climb, the decisive one, in hindsight, the team and Remco himself were struggling, and we were no longer able to follow the decisive attacks.
Exactly, but I don't think that dampened the mood at the closing ceremony. How was it? How was the finale for you getting off the bike to celebrate? How was the closing ceremony?
Personally, I find the first gathering of the team, all employees, but also partners and friends of the team at the team bus directly after the stage, that's the most emotional moment and the most beautiful one. And here there was wine, there was champagne, there was beer. Here there were basic pizzas. That is, for me personally, the most beautiful moment. Later, we were at our event location up on Montmartre. That went on until late into the night, and some drank a lot, some drank less. Like me, I went home relatively early. It was a real party with 400 guests. You don't even know who to talk to anymore. It was all just overflowing, but the racers enjoyed it, and primarily it's about the racers.
Who hopefully had a lovely evening. So, before we go into detail, what is your overall conclusion on the 2026 Tour de France?
Yes, well, I started in 2014 with seventh place here in the overall standings. We were fifth twice with Wilco Kelderman and Alexander Vlasov. We were fourth here with Emmanuel Buchmann. We were third with Florian Lipowitz, and we were now second with Remco Evenepoel. My goal, my personal goal, remains clear. I also want to win the Tour de France at some point. Yes, it does not get much better than second place. We saw a very outstanding Tadej Pogacar this year.
For me, in this constellation, unbeatable. I also philosophized about it a bit with Peter Sagan yesterday.
If we had a Vingegaard or a Del Toro in our ranks, if we had the best of the best on our team, which was a hypothetical discussion, but if we had that, I believe that even with that lineup, we could not have beaten Tadej Pogacar at this year's Tour de France. And so let's say we are very, very happy with second place. I did miss Florian Lipowitz yesterday evening. Somehow I felt incredibly sorry for him that he wasn't there, because my personal opinion was that he definitely would have been a very, very strong contender for the podium, and perhaps there could have even been a double podium for Red Bull Bora Hansgrohe, but that is all speculative. We know what happened with Florian Lipowitz, I hope that he comes back even stronger. I wish that for him.
Exactly. You have the best of the best there. And you would certainly include Remco in that, as he showed us over the last 3 weeks. Is he positioning himself, or has he now positioned himself for an era after Tadej Pogacar? That era will come. Whether it comes in the short, medium or long term, he's not showing his cards exactly, but with a performance like that, especially in the high mountains when Pogacar... either he eventually can't anymore, or he doesn't want to anymore. If at some point he is no longer as he is now, Remco has definitely positioned himself to be a successor who can win a Tour de France.
We will see. Remco is definitely 2 years younger than Tadej, I think. Florian is also younger. It would be nice for us if they were the successors, but Isaac Del Toro is already pushing up from below. Paul Sixers is also pushing up. I hope that at some point our rookies who are still racing in the under 23 category will also join the circle of contenders for future Tour de France winners. And yes, it definitely remains exciting.
Exactly. Third place in the team standings. And that is without Florian Lipowitz's result. Only the top three results count toward that. What is the significance of that, and what does it say about finishing third in the team standings without Florian?
Yes, with Florian, we would most likely have won the team classification because Jai Hindley also finished 15th in the general classification. At the Tour de France, the team classification has a certain significance because the whole team gets to go to the podium ceremony on the Champs-Élysées and so on. That is something nice. I have never experienced that in my career as a manager. I would have liked to have had that, but it is not exactly a major success either. Winning the team classification is just a small consolation prize. If I have a choice and I'm doing well in the general individual classification or perhaps competing for a special jersey like the mountains, points or young rider classification, then I would definitely let the team classification slide. In all other races, except for the Tour de France, the team classification plays a very, very minor role.
Now, of course, a great, great deal is being said, and a great, great deal has been said about Remco Evenepoel, and rightly so. Seven of your riders reached the finish line. How do you rate the team's overall performance? Are you fully satisfied, or are there points where you say we had imagined things better?
Yes, I think it's going too far to go into the performance details of the individual riders now. Primarily, we brought seven men to Paris. Florian dropped out due to a crash, so he did not drop out due to performance. That is quite a big compliment to the riders, but also to the entire performance team, because in a Tour de France, it is all about nuances. And if you make small mistakes, then it backfires, and then you might get sick, and then you won't even reach Paris. And I know that our performance team has performed at their peak over the last 4 weeks or 3.5 weeks and did many, many things right. And that is ultimately the result of so many of our riders reaching Paris.
Right, let's look ahead. Starting with personnel planning, first on the departures side, who will be leaving you at the end of the season? What can you officially announce regarding that?
Yes, we don't want to go public with that yet, because there is the famous 1st of August when you can or should announce transfers. We want to stick to this deadline. There will definitely still be talks, both with our own riders and the ones we want to sign, and we definitely need to make room. That is why we will also have departures. But one thing is certain, that most likely four rookies from the under 23 team will move up. And that is a number that personally makes me very proud, that four of our young riders will make the jump to the pros. And that is also, yes, an award for this project within the team. And I am very happy about that.
Exactly. A name I am asked about again and again. I believe you also confirmed that during the tour. The contract of Primož Roglič will not be extended. Can you confirm that here once more?
Yes, that is correct. Well, back then I didn't have it on my radar either, because it is already clear that Primož will be leaving our team, and that is definitely set.
He will have his farewell at the Vuelta as well, if I am correctly informed. How do you look back on this time with such a big prominent name as Primož Roglič?
No, we will still do everything we can with him to go for the win at the Vuelta now. The Vuelta starts in 4 weeks, and the Vuelta is also his favorite race. He has won it 4 times. With a 5th victory, he would be the sole record holder, and that is the big goal for us, for him now. He will ride 1 or 2 preparation races in Spain, and then hopefully arrive in Monaco in 4 weeks. In his best form for the start. The time with Primož, we are very, very grateful. There are also some malicious tongues, yes, saying the transfer didn't pay off anymore because Primož was too old. Primož won the Vuelta for us, a 3-week national tour where not many teams can claim to have ever won the Vuelta. He won the Criterium du Dauphiné for us. He won the Volta a Catalunya for us. Both races are also at the World Tour level. So he secured 3 major victories for us, and I hope that it will not stop at those 3. Perhaps he will win 1 or 2 more now by the end of the season, but I would rate the transfer as very, very positive. And it is also normal at some point when you are in the autumn of your career that you might not be quite as sharp anymore and cannot keep up with modern cycling, which is raced very aggressively. But Primož is a champion to me and was a huge add-on for us in the entire project.
So he will be the captain at the Vuelta. Is there anything else already?
Names that are confirmed for the Vuelta, or is it still too early?
It is still too early for that. We are currently at a training camp in Livigno with the extended squad for the Vuelta. And once the training camp is finished, we will actually make a plan as to who will ultimately ride there. But preparations are underway 1 day before the Tour de France. That means we are currently in Livigno with more than 10 riders preparing very seriously for the Vuelta.
We will see about that. Ayaz, let us move on to the rest of the season. You mentioned the Vuelta as one of the major goals. What are the other overall goals for the second half of the year?
Yes, we still have the World Cycling Championships. Remco definitely wants to defend his time trial title there, but he is also among the top favorites for the road race. I would really love it for him too if Florian still makes it to the World Championships. Primarily, the plan was for him to start there. So the World Championships are very important to us. The Vuelta is very important, but we also still have the World Tour in the Tour of Poland and then the Italian Autumn Classics with the Tour of Lombardy as the highlight.
What has always been very close to your heart and still is the Salzburg-Mühle Cycling Night. Unfortunately, it will not take place in 2026, but that is certainly not the end of this cycling night. Can you give us some brief insights into that?
Yes, I don't even want to know what I'm doing next Friday, because that was always the fixed point of the Brugelmühle cycling night. And I grew up in Brugelmühle. My dad always put a lot of energy into it too, and put the field of riders together and invited the cyclists. And he also managed to bring Florian Lipovits to Brugelmühle last year. And yes, we cannot race this year because of construction work on the course. It is super, super sad. We also sought talks with the municipality to see if a temporary bridge could be installed or if we could choose a different circuit, but it was not easy to find a consensus there. The fact is the Brugelmühle Cycling Night will not take place this year, but we already have commitments from Salus, the main sponsor, that we can hold the event next year, and we are all very much looking forward to that.
And we will hopefully talk about that in more detail in the coming year. So, Ralf, we've done it again. 7th season of Inside Red Bull Bora Hansgrohe. First of all, many, many thanks to all the listeners of the podcast. We set new records again this year. We owe that to all of you out there, the support through the messages, the questions for you. Every email I received actually started with many thanks to Ralf Denk. And yes, we could barely keep up. Sorry that we could not answer or include everyone. We tried our best, but in the end, it was simply too much. So, and now on behalf of all the listeners and of course, representing the entire OVB online team, a very, very, very big thank you to you, dear Ralf, for accompanying us through the tour for 3 weeks and for explaining cycling and all its facets, this madness, to us every single year. That is anything but a given. So from me and from everyone who cares about this podcast, a big thank you.
That is great to hear. A thank you also goes back to the listeners, because the listeners make it great, the podcast product. I enjoyed it and I still enjoy it. It is also part of my mission to make cycling bigger, to explain it in detail. And it is also for me, I have to say this here, to some extent, a relief, because so many media outlets are now listening to the podcast and also quoting from the podcast, that I do not have to speak with quite as many during the tour, but Ralf Denk only speaks in the OVB podcasts. And that is actually a bit of a relief for me too. It is an award for the project, and I am already looking forward to next year's edition.
I have nothing to add to that. I wish you a safe trip back from France to Germany. Thanks again, and all the best for the rest of the season. And yes, one last time, I send my best regards to France.
Best regards back to Rosenheim.
That was the latest edition of Inside Red Bull Bora Hansgrohe, the podcast from OVB Online on the Tour de France. You can find the podcast on all common podcatchers and on the websites of OVB Media and Ippen Media. Thanks for listening, and see you in the next episode.